In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what caught me this morning was our collect. O God, you make us glad by the yearly festival of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our Judge, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So how do you like that? It's Christmas Day and we're talking about a judge. What is that about? The term judge for most of us has terribly negative connotations. We don't want to be judged. We know that we don't measure up in various ways, and the coming of a judge makes us feel vulnerable and afraid. But what I'm reminded of is a story I heard about two priests who walk into a bar. I don't know if there was actually a bar involved, but it helps to set the tone for the story. So one priest was white, male, middle to upper class American, and he was talking about how challenging he found it that week's readings because they were apocalyptic, like the book of Revelation or Daniel or nearly any of the prophets, like Jesus sometimes. They spoke of judgment and punishment. And this priest and the congregation to which he anticipated preaching instinctively recoiled from that kind of language. Now, the priest's companion was male, but he was neither white nor American. He was from Africa, and he had seen poverty in his life. And so this companion laughed at the first priest's complaint and said, "Ah, spoken like an American. For someone who has known poverty or discrimination or persecution, judgment is music to our ears. It promises the coming of justice and the righting of wrongs. When you're at the bottom, a shakeup in how things are means that things are only going to get better." So our first reading this morning was from the prophet Isaiah, and it's a joyful passage. We see beautiful feet, we hear good news of salvation, we see sentinels singing for pure joy. We speak of comfort and redemption and all the nations, everyone benefiting from God's loving presence. Our psalm is likewise joyful with a lot of the same themes, but even some more poetic and filled with more robust musical accompaniment. There are whole lands singing with harps and trumpets and horns and music of the waters, each with their different voice. And yet the psalm finishes like our collect, doesn't it? In righteousness shall he judge the world and the peoples with equity. So when is judgment good news? When is judgment a Christmas story? As our less naive priest above pointed out, judgment is good news for those who have been oppressed and have nothing to lose. Judgment is good news when the judge is trustworthy and the laws are just. Judgment is frightening when I'm living with even just a little bit of guilt, right? Some gray areas. Judgment is frightening when I have benefited from unjust systems, perhaps through no conscious effort of my own, and someone is trying to set things right. Then I get a little worried. Judgment is frightening also when a judge is corrupt, beholden to the rich and powerful, rather than to the law and to the idea of justice. At Christmas time, we celebrate the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is just and true. He would rather die. In fact, he did die rather than compromise with injustice. Gustavo Gutierrez was a Latin American theologian who really developed the idea of God's preferential option for the poor. But it's an idea that flows very naturally, very easily, from Scripture, from the whole Bible. Somehow, throughout the Bible, the poor tend to be more receptive, more ready to encounter God. It can be poor economically, or poor in spirit, or poor in all kinds of ways. It was the tax collectors and the prostitutes who gave Jesus the warmest welcomes in our gospel accounts. We speak of baptism as a surrender and an abandonment of every benefit and strength upon which we once relied. To pursue the Christian life is to pursue a kind of poverty that makes us ready to hear the coming of a judge as good news. It is to voluntarily submit ourselves, to place ourselves into the just and powerful care of that judge. Now, I'm sure none of you go to a surgeon and submit to the scalpel without good reason. Right? When I meet people having significant traumatic surgeries, I marvel at how much pain, how much physical or emotional pain they must have endured that brought them to the point where they would walk into the surgical center on their own two legs to surrender their life into a doctor's hands. It's kind of stunning. By the same token, if you are coming to church from a place of strength, then good for you. Often I do that too. But it is at church that we are invited to lay down all those strengths and become like little children. Maybe like, I don't know, an infant lying in a manger. Because it is as we discover our own weakness and inability that we will begin to discover God's strength and care working in us. It is then that we will learn to welcome God's sovereignty over our lives and rejoice in the coming of our judge and king. As we trace the drama of Jesus' life over the next several months in our liturgical calendar, culminating in the resurrection and Pentecost, and ascension and Pentecost, I invite you to constantly examine your own role in that drama. God could have come to us in power and judgment, but instead, God chose a different route, the vulnerability and innocence of a child, to woo us to take that similar path. May we follow in Jesus' footsteps and learn how to welcome the coming of our King. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.